Before I read from our reading of Acts in the second chapter today, I want you to know that Don and I had a message from Pastor Louise last week, and she sends greetings to every one of you. So, and now from God's Word, Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 20. Well, that's not right. I'm sorry. Doug, I'll talk to you later. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and there were many wonders and signs being performed through the apostles. Now all the believers were together, and they held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all as anyone had need. Every day they devoted themselves to meeting together in the temple complex, and they broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with a joyful and humble attitude, praising God and having favor with all people. And every day, the Lord added to them those who were being saved. May our God add his blessing to that reading.
Amen. Thank you. So if you would open your Bibles with me this morning to follow along Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47, I'm going to break this passage down this morning. There's some things that I want to talk about. And as you're turning to your Bibles, I'll share with you a story I heard about an elderly woman who was just gotten out of the store. She was grocery shopping, and she had realized she had locked her keys in her car. So she got a hanger, and she was trying to open her car door with this hanger, and she just could not get it to work. And so finally she paused, and she started praying, God, would you just bring somebody who could help me get into my car? And so up comes this guy on a motorcycle. He looks burly. He's got, you know, the duster jacket on, and he just looks rough. And he comes down off his bike, grabs the hanger. He pops open her car door, and she's just saying, praise God, and thank you. God brought you to help me out. And the man says, oh, man, don't lift me up all that much. I'm not a good man. She's like, no. God sent you to help me out. And the man said, well, you don't understand. I just got out of prison. I'm a really bad guy, and I went to prison because I was stealing cars. And she said, well, praise God, because he sent an expert. Anyways, we're starting a series this morning called Be the Church. And essentially, the reason I wanted to start this is because as a church, we're still going through a transition as a church. And part of that transition is going to be we've got to realize that the church isn't the pastor, the guy who's up here every Sunday. The church is us. We are the church. And so there are some things that I think we can draw from God's word about the church and what it means to be the church. And this morning, we're going to talk about how the church is more than a building. Now, some of us might be saying, well, hey, I was on the building committee for this. How dare you say that, right? Don't stone me after the church service. But the church is more than a building. It's so much more than that. And our text this morning provides us with an incredible model of what the early church looked like. And it's a model that the church needs to continue, because that is how God blesses his church and how God has brought glory is through following his model. And so the early church model we see this morning in our text. And it's essential for us. And if we trust in it and we live by it, God will grow us in the way God needs to grow us. And he will do what he needs to do. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 paints this picture just think of it for a moment, of a devoted and unified community of believers who were empowered by the Holy Spirit. They were empowered with a mission. They had a deep commitment. And that deep commitment was to the teaching of the apostles and the word of God. They had fellowship and the breaking of bread and prayer. And this passage serves as that model from what the early church was of what we need to be in the modern church. A church that strives in the terms of unity and generosity, devotion. That's what we need to be as a church. But it also reminds us that it's so much more than a building. So much more than a building. So I'm going to break it down this morning for you briefly. I know we have communion and everyone wants to get out and fellowship afterwards. So we'll go through these swiftly this morning. But this text, I believe we could break it down into three V's. I think it'll be easy to remember if we do it that way. Now break it down into three V's. Now, what it means to be a vibrant community, a vibrant church community, which I believe Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47 talks about. Let me give you a little context or background to the text before we start. This passage was taking place the day after Pentecost, where the Holy Spirit had descended upon the disciples and they were filled with its power. And then Peter delivers this powerful message to the early church, an impactful message that leads them into conversion. In fact, conversion of what the text says, 3,000 people. And then following that passage, it leads us to a glimpse of what early church life looked like, what they were doing back then, and what I'm convinced we need to be doing now. So the first of these three V's in the text this morning is vibrant worship. Vibrant worship. Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 43. One more, there we go. 43 says, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. Then fear came over everyone, and many wonders and signs were being performed through the apostles. So the early church was devoted to the teachings of Jesus Christ that the apostles who experienced his life were teaching. They were devoted to it. And this word for devotion, the Greek word, means to be steadfast, persistent, dedicated. So they didn't just sit under a message on Sunday, say, check, I did my Sunday thing, and went off and did whatever else. They were dedicated to what they were hearing from the apostles. It became a daily commitment to them, a daily commitment of devotion to the Word of God and to walking in it. And that's essential. The message that they were hearing accompanied incredible signs and wonders from the apostles. So what was happening is God was affirming their faith as they were watching what God was doing in the early church. Some of you have had experiences while being in this church where God has done something mighty and amazing that you just can't even describe. Because you've learned to trust God's word and live within the confines of fellowship with other believers, you've gotten to watch God work. And God works, friends. He works. Now, some might not have experienced that yet. Maybe you're still kind of on the fence on this whole Christian thing and how real it is. Let me encourage you, dive into his word and watch how he moves. Watch how he works. Because God is faithful and God works through his word. And the early church realized how important this was. They got together under the word of God and they worshiped vibrantly. And this would lead to powerful unity in the church, transformed minds in the church, minds that were of one accord. How interesting is that? We'll talk about that in a second. But Philippians chapter 2, verse 2 says, fulfill my joy by thinking the same way, having the same love, sharing the same feelings, focusing on one goal. 1 Peter 3:8. Now finally, all of you should be like-minded and sympathetic, should love believers and be compassionate and humble. The teaching strengthened their bonds and it strengthened their fellowship. And then the next few verses emphasize that because of that unity, because of that strength and fellowship, they would give their resources. They would bless each other's needs. Nobody in the church would go on needing because they would be there for each other. It was a brotherhood, a sisterhood, a family. And that's what the church is. It's a family united by Christ. One kingdom that we're all a part of. And that's incredible. And it's beautiful. So two things that we want to keep in mind from vibrant worship. Two things. Remain devoted daily to the instruction of God's word. Daily. Sunday will never be enough. If you use the illustration of bread and how Jesus says man cannot live by bread alone, well, let's just emphasize this. If you only eat bread on Sunday and you don't eat anything else the rest of the week, you're starving yourself. And it is hard to stay in unity with others, especially Christ followers, if we don't stay in unity under the one word God has given us, the Bible. So we need to be in it daily. And second, look for ways to be involved in sharing God's word with others. I think the greatest theme that we could pull out of this text today is that fellowship is essential. Fellowship is essential. And for some of us, you grew up in the church. You've been in small groups in this church. You've been in a Bible study or a group study, or you've networked and connected with other people in this church. And so you've had the opportunity to be under somebody else who's come alongside you and said, here's what God's word says. Are you struggling in your finances? Are you struggling in a relationship? Here's what God's word says about this. Are you struggling with a health issue? Here's what God's word says about this. And so some of you have had the opportunity of being under that. Can I just challenge you that maybe if that is true of you, maybe now is the time for you to be the one who does that for someone else. Maybe that opportunity that you had growing up in the church is now your opportunity for the next generation. I'm convinced as I see all these little heads on Sunday after a church service running through the pews. Some of them you can't even barely make out because they're not tall enough yet to get above the pews. I'm convinced that the next generation needs us. We need to be a part of that growing in the faith. Now you're going to say, Pastor Jerry, my gift isn't teaching. Well, guess what? Their gift wasn't necessarily teaching either. I guarantee you the early church wasn't all blessed with the gift of teaching. I guarantee it. But there are so many tools and resources out there that anybody can open the word with somebody else and just say, hey, here's what God's word says. Anyone can do it. That doesn't mean you're signing up to preach next Sunday. Don't worry. But we can all do it, and we all need to play a part in that. They fellowshiped together under the word of God, and that was essential. Vibrant worship. The second V this morning, valuable fellowship. Valuable fellowship. They shared everything they had, meeting together with glad and sincere hearts. Acts chapter 2, verse 44 and 40 through 46 says this. Now all the believers were together and held all things in common. They sold their possessions and property and distributed the proceeds to all. So anyone who had a need, every day they devoted themselves to meet together. There's that everyday word. In the temple complex and broke bread from house to house. They ate their food with joyful and humble attitudes. So check this out for a minute. Just think about this. The text says that they held all things in common. Wow. I don't know about you, but if I think about that for a moment, I start to think, oh my gosh, well, is that us as a church? Do we hold all things in common? This is when you just shake your head and say, no, no. Tammy and I don't even hold everything in common, and we love each other, right? See, the text here, it's a hyperbole. It's trying to emphasize something else. It's emphasizing a unity that was beyond their own capability. It was a unity that Christ brought. Guys, it doesn't mean that we have to like all the same food. And everyone said, amen. Imagine we are a Baptist church. We like our potlucks, don't we? Yes. Imagine if the potluck was just one crock pot with the same thing going on the table. It's not what the text is saying here. They had God in common. There was a commonality that Jesus Christ was their Lord and Savior. And so this was an emphasis that we are to be in unity, not in uniformity. There's a great difference there. Thank God that we're different, but we have Christ in common. Thank God for that. So the early church experienced this unity of fellowship in within the community around them. To be the church beyond a building, we have to be serious about our fellowship outside of the church, just as much as inside it. Getting together, breaking bread, remembering Christ and others. You were made for fellowship. If you've ever experienced loneliness, you know this is true. Because loneliness is painful. It's hard. You were made for fellowship. And I know for some of us, it's easier to say than to do, right? Some of us, let's be honest. As soon as the service hurts and the service ends and I say the benediction, some of us, if we're honest, we're saying, okay, I can't wait to bolt out this door. Please don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Leave me alone. I want to leave. I've been here. I heard the message. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm out. Right? Some of us have been that way. I was that way. When I first started going to church, I was the guy in the back, arms crossed. I'm not calling anyone out if you're crossing your arms. But I was the guy who's like, I can't wait till this is done. These people are weird. Please don't talk to me. Just leave me alone. That was me, honestly. I just wanted to bolt after the service. And then all of a sudden, I started to realize the value of the fellowship of other believers. It's important for us to get committed to each other and to God. It's essential. We need to take our fellowship seriously. Some of us here, you have what's called church friends and then normal friends, right? Because your church friends aren't normal, okay? We need to get beyond that thinking, okay? Your normal friends should be your church friends. It's great to have friends outside of the church too. Nothing wrong with that. But what happens sometimes is, you know, someone's asking you, hey, can you come on over Sunday? We're going to have a big get together, blah, blah, blah. I can't. I got a church thing. What? I got a church thing. We don't want to admit it, right? I got a church thing. My church friends, blah, blah, blah. And we separate the two. The early church was not separating the two. They were meeting in the church complex and fellowshipping together. And the rest of the community around them saw this and they were attracted to the gospel. You see that in the text today? They were attracted to the gospel. They said, there is something special about these little Christs, the Christians that they were called. There's something unique. And then God's word says that they were adding to them daily. God was adding to them daily. It's because they recognize how valuable fellowship is. Fellowship is essential. It's valuable. It's important for us to get involved in fellowship. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25 says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings as some habitually do, but encouraging each other all the more as you see the day drawing near. We need to be in fellowship. And guys, it happens beyond the church building. After service, we have fellowship time and we have some cookies and we can sit down and we can get together. And that's wonderful. But Sunday can't be it. We got to find ways to get plugged in, to get connected. In fact, to get connected under God's word together. There are a lot of people here right now that you may not realize, but you are like-minded in something. You have the commonality of Jesus Christ. And there's some friendships and relationships there that can grow. But we have to be willing to invest in fellowship. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, I'm jumping ahead of myself. Never mind. Wrong note. Two things to keep in mind about valuable fellowship. The first thing is we are known by our generosity. We are known by our generosity. The believers of the early church not only shared their possessions in common, but they also sacrificially sold their properties in order to meet the needs of others in the church. That generous and selfish attitude was a direct result of a deep fellowship that they had. How many of you today would say, there's no way I'm selling anything to give it to the guy sitting next to me, and it's your husband? None of you. None of you would say that. I'm joking. I can say that because I'm not sitting down this morning. But they had such a strong bond of fellowship that they were willing to give to each other. They were willing to sacrifice for each other. That fellowship, that generosity was the heart of the early church. And I'm convinced that's the heart of this church as well. But they will know us by our generosity, by what we do for others, what we do for each other in times of need. That generous, selfish attitude was a direct result of that deep fellowship with one another and their understanding of true meaning of the true meaning of communion. And the second thing is they break bread together. They break bread together. For some of us, we have the capability of hosting. Maybe you're really gifted in that, and you can invite someone from the church over and just say, hey, let's sit down for a meal together. Maybe it's somebody who just needs to know more about the Lord, and you have an opportunity that you can invite them over. Maybe for some of us, we have a little influx of cash. I don't know how in our current economy, but maybe you do, and you could take them out for lunch. Break bread together. It's that kind of fellowship that builds unity in the church. We can't be strangers Monday through Saturday and friends on Sunday. We got to be friends every day of the week. We're a family. We're a church family. We need to be able to break bread together. Many of us here, especially if you've grown up Baptist, you know how important potlucks are, right? They're important. As I was thinking about this and thinking about the fellowship and thinking about how important fellowship is in our church, let me tell you this. There's something that I'm praying specifically for, and I know God is going to answer it because God is faithful. But we need more potlucks here. We're a Baptist church, and we haven't really been having potlucks. And you guys make some awesome stuff that's not good for me, but that fellowship that we have together as a church is awesome. It's incredible. And somebody here, because you're wondering, well, why don't we just do it? Why don't we just have potlucks? Well, because we need someone to coordinate that. We need someone to lead that. Maybe you have a gift of hosting. Maybe you have that influx of cash. Maybe you have the gift of administering things. Maybe you're going to be our next potluck coordinator. You can coordinate those things every now and then in the church, whatever God's leading you to, but we need the fellowship together. It needs to be something more than just a Sunday message and then boom, we're done for the week. We'll come back next Sunday. There's more to our fellowship than that. The early church recognized that. And because they were so open about doing it beyond this building, but they got together in their houses and they broke bread together. Because they were so about it, the rest of the world started to see this. The gospel message spread and God was adding to them daily. Because they fellowshiped together. They knew how valuable fellowship is. And that leads me to the third and final thing this morning. The third V. Victorious evangelism. Right? The text said that the Lord added to their numbers daily those who were being saved. Acts chapter 2 verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And every day the Lord added to them those who were being saved. That's the impact of fellowship. That's the impact of fellowship on evangelism. This growth that was taking place in the early church can't be overstated. As the believers devoted themselves to fellowship and living out their faith, growing in the word that they were being taught under the instruction of the apostles, God was adding to them daily. He was growing them spiritually and numerically. The genuine love and joy in their fellowship was a powerful testimony to those who were seeking truth and salvation. If we have church friends and normal friends, our testimony is probably not going to be that powerful out in the world, right? Because, oh, you're something different outside of the church. You've got these people here that you get with, and you got these people here you get with on the rest of the week. And they need to be intertwined. They need to see that church is important, that it's valuable, that it's a priority. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." We're God's witnesses, not just to our church friends, but to all of our friends. I remember, and I've shared this story before, but I remember when I was stationed at the arsenal, I had a bunch of these staff NCOs that were dirty old men, is all I'll say. Dirty old men, okay? Because they like to get together and they like to talk about their wives. They like to try to look at stuff on their computer screens and say, "Oh, look at this. Oh, look at this." And every time they'd start doing that, I'd just get up and walk out. Because I didn't care what your rank was. I wasn't going to sit there and witness that. I refused. And there was a young guy, he was a corporal at the time when he first got stationed at the arsenal. He started to notice that. And one day he asked me what that was about. And I said, "You know what? God doesn't want us to live that way. We should be lifting our wives up. We should be praising them. We should be honoring them." And it drew him into this intrigue about Christianity. So I invited him to our men's breakfast. And I started inviting him to men's events. He started coming. He started asking questions. And he even emailed me years after the fact just to check in on me and see how I was doing, because it impacted him. He saw that my life wasn't different Monday through Saturday and in a different way on Sunday. No, this is my faith. And it's valuable to me. It's important. Let me close with an illustration this morning. And if you are a music expert, forgive me because I'm going to butcher this guy's name. Fritz Kreisler, the world-famous violinist, earned a fortune with his concerts and compositions, but he generously gave most of it away. So when he discovered an exquisite violin on one of his trips, he wasn't able to buy it. Later, having raised money, enough money to meet the asking price, he returned to the seller hoping to purchase this beautiful instrument. But to his great dismay, it had been sold to a collector. Kreisler made his way to the new owner's home and offered to buy the violin. The collector said it had become his prized possession and he would not sell it. Keenly disappointed, Kreisler was about to leave when he had an idea. "Could I play the instrument once more before it's consigned to silence?" he asked. Permission was granted, and the great virtuoso filled the room with such heart-moving music that the collector's emotions were deeply stirred. "I have no right to keep that to myself," he exclaimed. "It's yours, Mr. Kreisler. Take it into the world and let people hear it." Amen. Amen. Friends, what you hear here on Sunday needs to be taken into the world. Our fellowship together, our worship together needs to be taken into the world. We need to be about the model of the early church. Our worship isn't just on Sunday. It's all week long. Because God deserves that worship. Because he is good. He saved a wretch like me. He took my punishment upon the cross. And that message, the rest of this world needs to hear. People are perishing daily. They need to know who Jesus is. So let's devote ourselves to the teaching of the Word of God, demonstrating generosity, embracing true fellowship with other brothers and sisters in Christ so we can impact our communities and grow in our faith and attract others to the gospel. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for your message. I thank you for the model of the early church. Lord, I pray in your house here today that we could be about vibrant worship. Father, that we could be about valuable fellowship. And Lord, through your working in this church, that you would add daily those who are being saved in Jesus' name. Father, whether they come to our church or another church, what we care is that they're saved, that they've trusted you. Lord, I just pray that we could multiply your kingdom by our example, by our love, by our fellowship. I pray this blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Chris is going to lead us in a hymn, and as he does, our deacons are going to prepare us for communion.